We're spending some time learning a little more about Jonah before we actually get into the book. And so our message on Jonah today comes from the New Testament. So Matthew 12 is where we're going to be today. Last Sunday we started this new series and we spent most of our time looking at and learning about just who Jonah was. And we discovered from another passage in the Old Testament, again not the book of Jonah, but we learned that Jonah was a gifted prophet of God, as well as a faithful servant of the one true God. We saw that in 2 Kings 14, verse 25. Jonah served God as a prophet. We don't see that title, that word prophet, anywhere in the book of Jonah, but we learn about that from 2 Kings as well as here in Matthew chapter 12. So this morning, before we start working our way through the book of Jonah, verse by verse and passage by passage, now I want us to look at what Jonah is really all about. Sort of the big picture of Jonah. Not just the man Jonah, but the message of Jonah. How should we look at this little book? How should we treat this story of Jonah being swallowed by this big fish? Why is Jonah really even in our Bibles? You know, if you were to go out and ask people that, tell me about the story of Jonah. That might be a story people are familiar with. They will describe probably Noah and his ark, but also Jonah and the fish. You've seen cartoons of Jonah and the fish. Now, most people are going to tell you that it's a story, it's a myth, it's a legend. But I want you to know today that there is so much more to the story of Jonah than that. In fact, this great fish that is often talked about dealing with the story of Jonah is only mentioned three times in the entire book. So how should we look at Jonah? How should we look at the man and the message of Jonah? We should look at Jonah the same way Jesus did. And that is actually why we're going to go to the New Testament to learn and uncover the message of Jonah today. And we find this in Matthew chapter 12, beginning verse 38. Now, Matthew 12, the Lord is actually being challenged by some of the religious leaders of his day. They had ignored some of his teaching and his miracles that he had done in showing compassion to people that had physical problems. And so they're challenging him, they're tempting him. And in one of those temptations, in verse 38, certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." And in a parallel passage in Luke, they asked for a sign from heaven. They ignored all the other signs that Jesus had performed for them in their midst. All these miracles of turning water into wine and healing people that were blind and giving them sight. They were ignoring those, and now they wanted to see something that came from heaven. Something that they could see that was even more amazing than those things. But did they really want to get a sign from God? Luke says that they were tempting him. But look what Jesus does. Beginning verse 39, Jesus answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas," or Jonah. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's or the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it." Why? "Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." The first thing I want us to see from Matthew is how Jesus looked at the story of Jonah. This story was not a myth. It wasn't a legend, it wasn't a fairy tale, it wasn't a fable, it was real. Now there are a lot of people who see the story of Jonah as nothing but a story, or a fable, or a fairy tale. And if you were to ask people about Jonah, did he really live, was there really a Jonah, did he really exist, a lot of those who are critical of the Bible and critical of the faith will bring up questions about the fish. They'll say, "There's no whale or fish that could swallow a man alive," they'll say. "Or a whale. Their throats would be too small." And in fact, many of them are too small to swallow a man. And so they try to cause and throw doubt on this Or they bring up questions about Jonah and say that even if a fish could have swallowed Jonah, no person could survive 3 days in the bowels of a fish. Or they bring up questions about the city of Nineveh. I've read some of these. And they'll say that no city could turn to God the way Nineveh did, a wicked city like it was. After all, there's no other evidence out there that shows this happened in Nineveh. But if we want to know how Jesus saw Nineveh and Jonah, we just have to come here to Matthew. Because Jesus saw the story of Jonah and recognized that the prophet of Jonah and everything in his book were historically true. And that's how we ought to take it. Because if it was a myth, and if it was a fable, if it was a fairy tale, and Jesus presented it as fact, it would make him a liar. But when Jesus treats it as historical fact, that's how we ought to treat it. No matter what questions people arise, we by faith accept it as inerrant truth. You see, Jonah is not just a quaint story for children about a man being swallowed by a fish. There is a lot more to that story of Jonah. It is an accurate and inspired history of a real man, a real prophet, and God was using Jonah's life to convey to us an important message. So what is that message? What is Jonah's message to us? Look with me at Matthew 12:39. After being asked for a sign from heaven, Jesus says this: "There shall be no sign given to this generation, to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah." In other words, the message of Jonah that we have in all of that book and the message of his life story is that he and everything that happened to him was a sign. A sign. Now, we have all sorts of different signs, don't we? Along the road, you're going to see street signs and road signs. We saw a lot of those kind of signs on our trip to Florida and back. And those signs were actually very, very helpful. Now, what do signs do? What do those signs tell us when you're driving on a road? Some signs tell us what to do and what not to do. There are some signs that say speed limit, 70. I like those because they mean you can go pretty fast. But then every once in a while, I come into a construction zone, and these are the annoying ones because it slows you down. And you might not see anybody working for 20 miles, and yet you're still supposed to go 45. But that sign tells us that there is something going on. Or maybe you get a little closer to those construction areas, and there's a yield sign or there's a caution sign, and it tells us that we are coming up on a dangerous situation. There are other signs that tell us where we are and where we're going. I like those signs too, because they point us in the right direction. We know that we're heading toward Florida. Or we know that we're heading toward Cape Coral, where we ended up going for our vacation. Or especially coming home, when we see those state signs and we cross over to Georgia, we know we're getting closer. We cross into Tennessee, we know we're getting even closer. We get into Kentucky and finally, Indiana! We're just about home! All of those signs point us in the right direction. And here in Matthew 12, these certain of the scribes and Pharisees were asking for a sign from heaven. Now we know from Luke that they were tempting Jesus, but if they were honest in this request for a sign from heaven, what would this sign have done for them? What was this sign really supposed to do for them? It was supposed to point them to the truths about Jesus. It was supposed to point to them his identity, that he was in fact who he said he was. Now, again, they ignored all the other signs. But if they were honest about it, that sign from heaven would have confirmed his identity. It would have confirmed his authority. It would prove who Jesus was. But again, they ignored those other signs. But when Jesus was asked for another sign, a sign from heaven, Jesus says, "There's not going to be any other sign given to you but this sign. The sign of the prophet Jonah." This is the message of Jonah to us. Jonah was a sign. Jonah is a sign. It's not just a quaint little story that we find in four chapters in the Old Testament. It's a sign. And that's the message of the book of Jonah. But what kind of sign is Jonah? What kind of sign is Jonah? What does Jonah point us to? Well, as we're going to see from these verses, and really throughout all of the book of Jonah as we go through it, is Jonah is a sign that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If we go through the book of Jonah and miss Jesus, we have missed the point of Jonah. We've missed the point of the man, the prophet, and the book itself. Jonah is a sign that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so when we look at this book, we need to see not just the story of a man being swallowed by a fish, but we need to see throughout the story a great big sign with a great white arrow, even with flashing lights pointing us to the one who's greater than Jonah, Jesus Himself. I made a challenge to you last week that since we're going through Jonah, maybe you ought to try with your Take 20 to read through Jonah once every week. Keep this in mind. Jonah is pointing us to Jesus. Jonah is pointing us to Jesus. That's the whole message of Jonah. And we know this because Jesus Himself told us that right here in Matthew. How does Jonah point us to Jesus? This morning we're going to consider four ways that Jonah points us to Jesus in these verses. First of all, Jonah points us to Jesus in His ultimate prophecy. His ultimate prophecy. Again, in verse 39, Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, as well as to the others around Him, He answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah." The sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah points us to Jesus, who is the greatest prophet and final word from God. That's how Jonah points us to Jesus. Now, if you remember last week, we spent some time looking at what a prophet was. A prophet was God's ambassador to the world. A prophet would represent God to His people as well as to the world around him. A prophet would then speak for God. So often there's this formula in the Old Testament, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, we don't see that in the book of Jonah, but it certainly implies it. He was speaking for God, and then a prophet was also supposed to live for God. Now, they didn't always live for God 100% like Jonah. We see that in his life as well. But they were supposed to. And every prophet, including Jonah, was a type, a symbol, a living symbol of someone who was greater than them that would come later than them. You see, Jonah was just one of many prophets. We saw last week how Jonah probably knew and was even a student of the prophet Elisha. He lived around the same time. Elisha was the student and came after the great prophet Elijah. And you can go all the way back and you find prophet after prophet after prophet, and all of those prophets, just by being a prophet, points us to Jesus Christ. How does he do that? Well, remember what God told Moses, who was also a prophet? In Deuteronomy 18:18, God tells Moses, He says, "I will raise them up," or the people of God up, "a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them that I shall command him." You see, Jesus too is a prophet. But He was the greatest prophet, and He is the final prophet of God. And every time there's a prophet that comes on the scene in the Old Testament, they, just by virtue of being a prophet, points to the one who will come after them, who is the one who fulfills the great role of prophet. And now Jesus not only fulfills the role of prophet, but also of priest and king as well. So how does Jonah point us to Jesus as a prophet? Well, through his word, first of all. As a prophet, Jonah spoke for God. We don't read it in the book of Jonah, but he would have said, "Thus saith the Lord," because he's a prophet. And in the prophecy that Jonah gave in 2 Kings that we considered last week, it was a prophecy of promise and grace and hope. But even though Jonah points us to Jesus, Jesus is still so much greater. Do you know that Jonah told the people the Word of God? But what makes Jesus so different is that Jesus is the Word of God. And every time a prophet came on the scene, they were speaking for God and they were pointing to someone who would come who is the very embodiment of the Word of God. John 1:1 describes this of Jesus: "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Jonah's words for God were finite and limited. He didn't have the last word. But Jesus' words are final. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, and in other words, at different times, in different ways, He spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, like Jonah. But He has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Jesus is the ultimate prophet because He is the ultimate and final Word of God. And every time a prophet would speak, it was just pointing to the one who would be the fulfillment of those words, the Lord Jesus. And so whenever Jonah opened up his mouth as prophet, he was pointing us to Jesus. But do you realize that he also pointed to Jesus through his works? Again, Jonah as a prophet of God was called to live for God, just like those who are Christians today. If you're a Christian, you are called not only to believe in God and Jesus, but to live for Him as well. And at first, Jonah seemed faithful in that service, but we know his failures as well when you read through the book of Jonah. But even in his works, Jonah points us to Jesus because Jesus is so much greater. Jonah's work for God was finite and limited. We see that human failures and even that sinful nature come out in Jonah. But Jesus, when He works, it is supremely faithful. One writer says this about Jesus, who is the ultimate prophet, that Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by His Word and by His Spirit the will of God for our salvation. And as a prophet, Jonah points us to Jesus. He points us to Jesus through His words and His work as a prophet. Now, we're not prophets of God because Jesus was the ultimate and final prophet of God. But if you are one of the members of the people of God, the question I want us to think about is, do you point others to Jesus like Jonah did? Jonah pointed others to Jesus through his prophetic word. Do you point others to Jesus through what you say, through your words as well? Colossians 4, 6 instructs us that we ought to let our speech be always seasoned with grace, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Do you realize that you point others to Jesus through your words? And you also can point others to Jesus through your works. Just as Jonah was pointing to Jesus, even when he failed at times, it was showing that there was someone greater, someone better. Don't trust in me as your prophet. Trust in the one who I'm pointing to. Trust in the Lord Jesus. And we ought to point others to Jesus through our words and our works as well. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Jonah points us to Jesus because of his prophecy, the ultimate prophecy. He points us to Jesus through his words and through his works. And that is what we are to do as well with our life. But then there's a second way that Jonah points us to Jesus, and that is in his ultimate picture. In his ultimate picture. A sign gives us a picture of what is to come. A sign is a picture of what is to come. It's like going from state to state. When you're traveling a long distance, it is always fun to see how fast and how quickly you're going through those states. And I enjoy seeing the state signs. Now, sometimes you come across one and they're just kind of ordinary. They're just green signs. They might have a little bit of color on them. The signs that I like are the signs that are actually in the shape of the state in which you are driving. I've seen one for Ohio. It's the shape of the state of Ohio. Those are unique. I've seen some of the license plates, and I've seen also some signs of Tennessee that are in the shape of Tennessee. You know where you're at. But do you know that Jonah as a sign gives us a picture of something that is to come? Jonah points us to Jesus because as Jesus reveals to us here in Matthew 12, Jonah's life is a picture of something to come. So what is it a picture of? Look at verse 40 with me in Matthew 12. Jesus says, this isn't my opinion or my thought about it, this is what Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus was telling us and telling the Pharisees and the scribes and his other disciples that Jonah's life was a picture of the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we go through the book of Jonah, that's how we ought to see it. We ought to see that Jonah is pointing us to something greater, something that will come. Jonah's life is a picture of the gospel. Jonah's life points us to the life of Jesus Christ, and that's how we're to look at the message of Jonah. Here are some examples. Jonah's life was a picture of the death of Jesus. So when Jonah was thrown overboard and sank deep down into the sea, it wasn't just something that the sailors would say, okay, that was our redemption, that was our salvation, now the storm stopped. Jesus says it wasn't just about them. It wasn't just about Jonah. It was about him. When Jonah was thrown overboard, it was a picture of the death of Jesus. It was a picture of death itself. Now, more than likely, the sailors who threw Jonah overboard thought he was dead. And they knew why. In fact, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 10, it says that the men knew that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah, during the middle of that storm that we're going to start looking at next week, was in such pangs of guilt that he admitted what he had done. He admitted his sin before God. And he said, "Throw me over," and they did so. They threw him into the sea because of Jonah's sin against God. Those sailors thought he died. Those sailors learned from their own experience that the wages of sin is death. They learned that sin requires a great penalty and a great punishment, and God made that punishment to be death. And Jonah points us to the death of Jesus and all that it means. But we also know that the message of Jonah is a picture of the burial of Jesus. What did Jesus say about Jonah? He spent 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. One article that I read about this stated that that 3 days was a significant number. Because back then, 3 days would be a determining factor in knowing that someone was truly dead and they weren't just in a coma. Today, you know, when they embalm someone, that pretty much takes care of it. You know, they take the blood out, they're gone if they weren't before. 3 days, three nights was an important number. Remember when Jesus came to visit Lazarus when he was dead? It was stated that he was dead in the grave 4 days. In other words, he was really, 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 really dead. And so he still was able to bring him back to life. But Jonah was buried in that belly of that fish for 3 days. Now, that was the burial. It was a picture of the finality of death. We are going to a burial here in the next few days. And much as we don't like to admit it or think about it, a burial is a final resting place for the body. Until, of course, the Lord Jesus comes and resurrects that body. But for us, it is a picture of the finality of death and a final burial. And when Jonah was those 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish, Jesus says it wasn't about Jonah, it was about him. Jonah points us to the burial of Jesus as well, and all that it means. When Jesus was buried, our sins, who believe in Him, were buried with Him, and it is dead, 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 and gone, and buried, out of the way. Jonah points us to the burial of Jesus, but he also gives us a picture of the resurrection of Jesus. Again, he says in this verse, "So shall the Son of Man," referring to Himself, "be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Another reason why that number is mentioned is because that was the extent of Jonah's time in the fish. That was it. It wasn't 40 days or 80 days or 10 years or forever. It was just 3 days and three nights. We read in the book of Jonah that he came back up and out of that fish. to go on the mission that God had for him. And you know what Jonah does in that moment? He pictures and points to us the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The grave could not hold Jesus either. And that is how we're to read and look at the book and the message of Jonah. Jonah lives so that he can give us a picture of what is to come in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about our life? Is your life like Jonah's life? Is your life a picture of what Jesus has already done for you? Imagine how Jonah must have felt when he got out of that fish. The air was probably much cleaner and clearer. It smelled a little better, I'm sure. He probably got his land legs fairly quickly, but he would have been absolutely excited to get out of that fish because God was giving him a new life, a fresh start. And instead of saying, I'm going to Disneyland or anything like that, he said, I'm going to Nineveh, that wicked city where I was not wanting to go initially, but now I'm going there. What about your life? Is your life a picture of what Jesus has done for you? In Romans, we spent some time there this morning during our adult Sunday school hour, but Paul writes in Romans 6:4 and says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jonah probably jumped out of the fish with that newness of life, that new vigor that God had given to him, and that's how we ought to live. Because God has given to us and united us with the death of Christ and the burial of Christ and with the resurrection of Christ, and now we can walk in newness of life and point others to Jesus with our lives. Are you doing that? So often we live our lives reflect no difference than the life of anyone else in this world, like the Ninevites or any other city that you might claim. But does your life reflect what Jesus has already done for you? You have been buried with Him, and you have been risen with Him if you know Him as your Savior, and your life must reflect what Jesus has done for you and point others to Jesus. The third thing that Jonah points us to about Jesus is found in his ultimate purpose as well. We go on in verse 41 of Matthew 12, and it says this. Jesus says that the men of Nineveh, he's actually talking now to the scribes and Pharisees, the ones that were tempting him. He says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now, every sign has a purpose. Some signs are warning signs, like the yellow and orange caution signs that you come across along the highway. Other signs are hopeful signs, like the ones that I mentioned to you that show you you're getting close to your destination. Do you know that God had a purpose in mind when He created Jonah? When Jonah was born, and when Jonah was called to be His prophet, God had a special purpose for Jonah. The purpose of Jonah was simply to point others to Jesus. And how did he do this? Two ways that we see in verse 41. Jonah pointed to Jesus by warning of God's judgment. That was part of Jonah's purpose, to warn of God's judgment. Now, in Jonah's time, Jonah's message to the Ninevites when he finally got there was this. In Jonah 3:4, he simply said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, that is a message of judgment. That was different than the message and the prophecy that he gave to his own people in 2 Kings. But why was this prophecy, why was this word given? Because Nineveh was a wicked city. And because of their great sin against God, Jonah 1:2 says, their wickedness is come up before me. They were a wicked people. And so God sent Jonah to warn them of God's judgment. And that is part of the message of the gospel. Someone cannot be saved until they realize that they need to be saved. And that's what Jonah does. When he goes to Nineveh, he points to Jesus by saying, there is a judgment that is coming. But he also says that there is a mercy that is available. You see, part of Jonah's ultimate purpose was that He was to show God's mercy to Nineveh. Now, we do not read of God's mercy in Jonah's words to Nineveh. All we read is that he said, you know, the judgment's coming. But we see God's mercy in the fact that Jonah was actually there in Nineveh. God sent Jonah to reveal the fact that God is a merciful God, slow to anger and of great kindness. And the king of Nineveh himself, in Jonah 3:9, said, "Who can tell? If God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we perish not." And you know what happened? Jesus says here that those Ninevites repented at the preaching of Jonah. What a wonderful miracle! They responded to the mercy of God. And do you realize that that is the purpose that God has for each one of us as well? This too is how we are to look at Jonah. There is a great warning to those who are living in and loving their sin, a warning of God's judgment to come. And perhaps this is what the message of Jonah is to us today. The Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And if you're living a life of sin and you're relishing it and you're loving it and you don't care what God has to say about it, you know what? There is a message of judgment to you in the message of Jonah. But there's also a great message and witness of God's mercy as well to those who repent and believe the gospel. And the question that really comes to mind about this is, have we heeded those messages? Because that was the purpose of Jonah. The purpose of Jonah was to warn of God's judgment and to witness of God's mercy, and we need to respond to it ourselves and then do the same. Warn and witness. Warn and witness. Do you realize that that purpose is the one that God has given all of us as well? To warn and witness. Warn of God's judgment and witness of God's mercy to those who need it, and point others to Christ. But a fourth way and final way that Jonah points us to Jesus is in his ultimate pattern. I love what Jesus says in the last phrase in verse 41. He says, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." A greater than Jonah is here. Now, many signs become familiar to us, and there gets to be a point where you don't really need to read what's on those signs. When you're coming up on an intersection and you see a sign that's in the shape of an octagon, you know it's a stop sign. Or you see the red, you know you got to stop. Even the shapes and colors of the signs tell us what we need to do. And the shape and the size and the color of Jonah's life actually sets a pattern for us as well. You see, we often see ourselves in the life of Jonah. Maybe not in all the details. We're never going to be swallowed by a fish, or I guess we hope not. But we see our lives in Jonah. And that's one of the reasons why Jonah is such a powerful book. We see ourselves in him. We have the same problems that he has. We experience the same sinful pull as he did. And we even have the same hope and the same help that he received. You see, because Jesus is the one who is greater than Jonah, the pattern of Jonah for us is this. Jonah needed Jesus. And so do we. Every single day. And that is the pattern that we must follow when we see ourselves in Jonah. He needed Christ. He needed God. He needed his mercy and his help to do what he called him to do, to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel of repentance and faith. And we do too. We have a need, like Jonah, for Christ's constant faithfulness. As we looked at last Sunday, Jonah may have started out to be a faithful prophet, and he may have even ended up being a faithful prophet. I believe he probably was, but we don't know what happened and ended up in the life of Jonah. We don't have that recorded for us. He may have ended up as a faithful prophet, but one thing we do see in Jonah is a time of failure and unfaithfulness as well, don't we? But when we see his failure, the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, we see his unfaithfulness in his service for God, his weakness in serving God, what do we see? we see God's constant faithfulness to His prophet, don't we? God wasn't giving up on His child. God wasn't giving up on His prophet. And that's why we, when we see ourselves in Jonah, we need the faithfulness of God too. Because when we are unbelieving even, God still abides faithful. We can praise God that we have His faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Jonah is a great illustration of that. God called Jonah and was never going to let him go. And that's the way it is for all of His people. God has an unrelenting, constant faithfulness to those who are truly His. God kept pursuing Jonah even to the bottom of the sea. But also like Jonah, we have a need for continuing forgiveness as well. Jonah was disobedient. Jonah did sin against God, even after he was called to go and serve in Nineveh. And we do the same. We too often fail and sin and disobey God. And you know what Jonah needed and what we needed? The continuous forgiveness of God. And isn't it wonderful that because of Jesus we have that too? 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, Jonah is a pattern of the life of a child of God, a Christian. And he demonstrates to us that we still need Jesus. And is that something that people see in your life? Do people see in you not perfection, but do they see in you a reliance and a dependence on God? That you need Jesus as Jonah needed Jesus? The ultimate message of Jonah is this. Jonah points us to Jesus. He points us to Jesus through His prophecy, through His picture, through His purpose, through His pattern for us. And in the providence of God, it's amazing how He used the circumstances of Jonah's life to convey that message. That's an amazing thing. We often do this too, don't we? When we reflect on someone in our life that may have passed on, may have died, I was thinking of this about Brother Bob. And things about his life taught me some lessons about life. And we often do that. But God does that through His Word too. He did that through the life of Jonah. He conveyed a message through the providential circumstances that happened in his life. Even when Jonah said, "I'm out of here, I'm not going to Nineveh," God still used that to convey the message of pointing others to Christ. Now, what message does your life bring to others? When someone were to think of you and your life and your relationship with God, what do they think of? Does your life point them to Jesus Christ as Jonah did? Is your life like a sign with a great giant white arrow, even with flashing lights, saying, "It's not about me, it's about Christ"? There's another man who is described in the Gospels who understood this principle. John the Baptist said, "He must increase and I must decrease." He said, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not me." A big, bright, white arrow, a big, white sign with flashing lights that said, "Look to Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith." Is your life that way? Does your life point others to Jesus? That's the message of Jonah, and really, that should be the message of our lives together as well. If it's not, if your life is not pointing others to Jesus, then you need to look at the sign of Jonah yourself, who is pointing us right to Jesus now. As the hymn writer says, "May Christ be seen in me, O Lord. Hear Thou my earnest plea. Oh, take me, fill me, use me, Lord, till Christ be seen in me." Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I know that as we have explored this teaching that Jesus gave us about the message of Jonah, the man and his ministry, I pray, O Lord, that You'll help us to not doubt this, not wonder about it, but accept it by faith, realizing that You put it there for that reason. You put Jonah in the Bible to point us to Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see Jesus in his life. And as we read through it, as we explore it together on Sunday mornings, that we will not just look at the moral message, though there are many. We will not just look at the personal application, though there are many. But we will also look at what Jonah tells us about Jesus, even in those pages of that Old Testament book. But Lord, I also pray that you'll help us to see that just as you put Jonah in the Bible to point us to Jesus, you put us here to point others to Jesus as well. And in so many ways and so many times, O Lord, we fail and we sin. And people don't see Jesus in our life. And I pray, O Lord, that today there will be a conviction in our heart. And that, Lord, we will realize like Jonah that we need your constant faithfulness. And we need your continuous forgiveness so that we can fulfill the purpose and the plan that you have for us. And that is to point others to you. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning we might say, as that song did, may Christ be seen in us, in our words, in our works, in our actions, in our purpose, in everything that we do. I pray, O Lord, that it will point to you, that whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we might do all to the glory of God, so that they might be drawn closer to you. Help this message of Jonah to be the message of our life as well, so that when we breathe our last breath and we go into the grave and people start to think about and reflect our own life, they will say, his life pointed to Jesus. He wasn't perfect. He sinned. He had needs. He had problems. He had pains. But in all of those things, he was pointing the way to the Lord Jesus as the author and finisher of his faith. And so, Lord, I pray that the message of Jonah will be the message of our life even today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.